The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashah is Parashas B'Shalach. In Parashas B'Shalach, we have the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the Red Sea. The Torah tells us in Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Chof Aleph, Vayik Moshe Eshyode Al Hayom. Moshe stretched out his hand over the sea. Vayolech Hashem Es Hayom Beruah Kodim Azor Kol Alayla. And Hashem brought a very strong western wind the whole night. Vayosum Es Hayom Lecherovo. Lechorovo, and he made the sea into dry land. By Boku Hamoim, and the water split. By Yavol Bnei Yisrael B'Sechayom by Aboshua, and the children of Israel came through the sea on the dry land. By Amaim Lehem Chaimo Miminom Umisma Olam, and the waters were a wall for them from the right and the left. And then by Yidduf of Mitzrayim, Egypt followed them, he pursued them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Neteshot Chal Hayom B'Yeshuv Amayim, Al Mitzrayim, stretch your hand over the sea again and the waters will return. And the waters did that, V'Yeshuv Amayim, V'Yachasu, and they covered the Rechav Es HaProshim to Kol Chel Paray. Paray and his whole army, Velenishar Behem Adechot, and not one remained. And then we have the Shira, Oshoshe Mesha, and the Bnei Israel sang a song to Hashem. In the Yitzis Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt, we can ask, then why did we need the splitting of the Red Sea? This was not inclusive in the Esr Makis, the 10 plagues, which Hashem did to Paray. This was not necessary for the Yetzias Mitzrayim, for the Exodus. Even though that through this was the Gemar Cherus, this was the final step, because in this and with this Egypt was totally destroyed, but it could have been done through other ways. It didn't have to be done through the splitting of a sea. And this is from the greatest Nisim HaMefusamim, the greatest miracles which one can witness. There are many hidden miracles, but one that one can witness that has ever happened in the history of the world. So why did we need, and at this particular time, the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea? Second question we can ask, the sages say, Rosh Hashivcha Layom, Mashallah Ro Yecheskel Ben Buzi, that Yisrael came to such a level at this time that a maidservant saw what even Yecheskel ben Buzi, this was the great prophet who had a vision of the Maisa Merkova, the chariot and the throne of Hashem, she saw even what he didn't see. What does it mean, Rasa Shivcha, a maidservant? And then we can also ask that Yisrael came to Shira, where they sung to Hashem. Medrash brings, this was the first time in the history of the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that they sung to him. Where did this come from? We'll try to explain some of this evening. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, He created man, both from the physical world and from the non-physical world. As it states in Bereishis, Beis, Posuk Zayin, Vayitzaro Odom Ofer Min Adoma, He created him from the dust of the earth, as the physical world. Vayipach Ba'apod Nishmas Chaim, and He blew into His nostrils a soul, a living soul from above, from Hashem Himself. So we see that man was created from two worlds, and he was both physical and non-physical. These two forces, and they are enormous forces, they are totally contrary to each other. They're an antithesis of each other. Because what is physical is not spiritual. What is spiritual is not physical. It's a different thing altogether. And because they are totally contrary to each other, there's a war between them. Who should rule? And both can't rule. Because Ein Shnei Melachim Mishtamshim B'Keser Echad. There cannot be two kings with one crown. The Seder Ha'olam, the order in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, was that the physical should be subservient to the non-physical. The spirit of man, the soul of man, his seichel, the intelligence which was given to him, this should be the master, the king. While the physical powers of man should be the servant. And this we find in the pattern of the whole world. For example, vegetation was created for the sake of the animal. The animal wasn't created for the sake of vegetation. The animal was created for the sake of man. And so is it in man himself, that he was created not that physical man should rule, but that the spiritual man, the non-spirit, the non-physical powers of man should rule the physical. And this was clarified right at the creation, because Torah tells us that when Hashem, before Hashem created the world, or right at the beginning, it states, that there was darkness over the depths. What were the depths? Rashi says, Al Panei Hamayim Shala Ha'aretz. The very beginning of creation, the waters covered the entire world. A little later, in Posuk Tes, it states, Vayim Elekim, Hashem said, Yikovu Hamayim Mitachas Hashomayim El Mokom Echad. Let all of the waters of the world beneath the heavens gather together in one place. So Rashi explains, Shtuchin Hoyu Al Panei Kol Oretz. The waters, after Hashem created them, covered the entire world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu came, Bikodem Bukainus, Hu Hayam HaGodol Shebechol HaYamim. He limited the waters. He brought the waters together so they should all be in one place. Sages tell us, Gwaru Behem, He shouted at the waters and gave them a gvul, a boundary, a limit. Atkan, you will go up to here and not further. So what do we see? That in the beginning, the waters wanted to conquer the entire world. And they had. And the waters are one of the four elements, physical elements, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu used in the creation of the world, and they are a mighty force. And they spread endlessly. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, move back. He gave them a boundary. This is why we find that the waters of the sea always try to wash up onto the land. Forever, they have no manucha. They have no rest. Always they are trying to wash up onto the land and to conquer the land. And they come to a certain point and they can go no further. And they have to move back. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Garo, he commanded them, Yikovu Hamayim, all of the waters must gather together and became echod in one place. This is what David HaMelech writes in the Tehillim, Kuf Dalet, Kapitel Zayin. This is the Kapitel Borchi Nafshi, which generally in a shul is said on Rosh Chodesh. Min garoscho yonusun, min kol ra'amcho yechofezun. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shout, the waters fled. From here, the force of his voice that was like a re'em, which is a gigantic animal, yechofezun, they hurried away. Gvul samto bal yavorun. You have made a boundary that they are not allowed to pass. Bal yushuvun lechasei so'oretz, lest they return to cover the earth. What does it mean, lest they return to cover the earth like they were at the beginning of the creation? Now the question is, why? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu command the waters to move back? So the Torah tells us immediately. Let all of the waters gather together to one place, in order that the dry land shall be seen. And Hashem called the dry land earth, and the pools of water he called the sea. So the Torah tells us, he told the water, he commanded the water to go back in order that the earth, the land can be seen. What does this mean? It means very simple. Simply that Hashem said, I did not create the world for the sake of the water. I created the world for the sake of the earth. I did not create the world for the sake of the fish and all of the creatures that live in the sea. I created the world for the sake of man who lives on the earth. So right from that point we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was commanding the physical world to submit themselves to the man who was made up of both the physical and the spiritual, the non-physical world. And therefore, the waters had to be subdued. They had to subject themselves to the mastery of men. This, however, did not carry on through history. Because soon after the creation, man no longer ruled himself. His spirit, his non-physical man, didn't rule, but rather he became a slave to physical man, to all of the physical passions and physical needs of man. And the generations went down, down.
until the time of Noach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let the waters return. No longer is man capable to rule, therefore let the waters return to where they were before. And he brought on the world the Mehamabel, the great flood. And this is why also that the nations were not capable to receive the Torah. The Torah didn't have to be given 26 generations after the creation of the world. Could have been given to the first generation, to the second generation, to the third. Chozer HaKadosh Baruch Hu El Kol HaUmos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu searched for who would bring in the Torah to the world. He couldn't find anyone. The nations didn't want it, and they were not befitting for it. Because Torah is not a product of the physical world. It's a product of a great non-physical world. And they all became subjected, enslaved to the physical world. Now this continued until the time of Avram Avinu. When Avram was born, this was the 20th generation, the Medrash Rabbah says, when Hashem said, Vayhi Or, let there be light in the world, let the creation, Ze Avram Avinu, he was referring to 20 generations down the line when Abraham would be born, because that would be the light to the world. Only then. And why was he called Or? Because Or, light, is an identification which we defined non-physical powers. Everything that we have in this world that we can see, the most non-physical is light. And we don't only refer to the physical light, but we refer to even greater lights of spiritual light. And this was Abraham. Abraham was going to be the first one that would be capable of making himself and his children into those that will be masters over physical man. And so it was with Yitzchak and Yaakov and the 12 Shvatim, and in particular with Moshe. Last week we mentioned in the Shiur that it states in Shmos, Perek Beis, Posuk Beis, Vatera Iseki Tofu, that when Moshe was born, they saw that he was Tov. What does it mean he was good? Nismale kol habayis kula ora. The Medrash Rabbah says that the whole house filled with light. As it states, Tov, and when Hashem created the light of the world, Vayar ha'or ki Tov, he saw the light was good. Now this Tov, this goodness, again is representing what we're speaking about. Someone who can rise above physical man and become a master over himself. And to this, Moshe excelled to enormous heights. And this is why Tov Shemo, Tov Yoshemo, Tov Yoshemo, his name was Tov, or Tuvia, which means Tov to Hashem. And the Medrash says when he was born, they saw Hogun Linavua. He would be a great prophet to understand Torah at its fullest. One has to be at a level of Torah. And there was no one in this aspect as great as Moshe, who brought the whole Torah into the world. On the other hand, Egypt, we find, was the total antithesis to this. They had become an enormously physical nation. they became stufim, they became sunken into all types of physical abominations. They were idolaters, murderers, bloodshed, gilareis, adultery, incest, all types of deviations, sorcerers, tumah, impurities. This was Mitzrayim. And as the Torah tells us, Kimasi eretz Mitzrayim lo sasu. I am taking you out of Egypt that you shall not practice their ways. And they were called avodim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yisrael that when I free you, you no longer will be avodim lavodim. You will no longer be servants to servants, slaves to slaves. And they were called also chamorim, donkeys. The prophet said, "Besorim kipsar chamorim, bezarim kizer asusim." Their flesh is like the flesh of donkeys, and their seed is like the seed of horses. And the sages tell us, "Evedei melechamor," a slave is like a donkey. Now, why is that? Why should a slave be like a donkey? And why should Egypt be like donkeys? Now, this was not, the prophet wasn't interested in insulting them. He was more concerned in defining their essence. The donkey is an animal that was created to be man's servant. There is no animal that carries the load for man like the donkey. And there was no animal that was given the physical strength to carry like the donkey. And this is why it's called the chamor. The chamor comes from the word chomer, which means physical matter, physical strength. And the donkey is a wonderful invention, a wonderful creation of Hashem. He fulfills the task he was created for. But a man also can become a donkey. And that's if he becomes subservient to the offer, to the earth that he was created from, instead of becoming a master over the earth that he was created from. And then he becomes the worst of the creations, because he was not created to be a servant, he was created to be a master. And Mitzrayim, Egypt, that sunk into the depths of physical lusts and desires and passions and deviations and so on, Besorim Kipsar Chamorim, they had become slaves to the earth, to the physical man that was in them. And they became a chamor, like donkeys. And this is what an eved also is, a slave. Why? Because the essence of a slave is the bitul haseichel, the destruction of the intelligence of man. Because the slave no longer can decree what he should do and what he shouldn't do. The slave no longer can decide what he should do and what he shouldn't do. The slave no longer can think for himself. Someone else does the thinking for him. This is not man. This is the animal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the donkey that someone should think for him, that someone should give him commands and he should listen and follow each and every command. And when a man becomes that way, then he has lost his seichel, he has lost his intelligence and his spirit, and he's reduced to the level of the donkey. Shfu lachem peim hachamor, am hadem lachamor. And therefore Egypt, with avodim la'avodim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you have been slaves to slaves. Besorim kibsar chamorim. This was the level of Egypt. The very antithesis to Israel. They were of the lowest degree level of man. Israel was from the highest level, because they had come from Abraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov and the Yud Beis Shvatim, and the names themselves exclaim this. What was Israel's name? Israel. The name comes from in Parshas Vayishlach, Lamed Beis Kof Tes, when Yaakov fought with the angel and he was victorious. Kisarisa im Hashem b'imanoshim v'tuchal. Because you have fought with Hashem, with the angels of Hashem, and with Anoshim, and with people, v'tuchal, and you were victorious, you shall be known as Israel. The word Israel is from the word Sar v'nogid. You will be a prince and a king. You will rule. The name Yitzrayim comes from the word Meitzar. Meitzar refers to the narrows, the straits. Min ha-Meitzar korosiko. It comes from the word Tsar. This is the contrary to freedom. Tsar means when a person is imprisoned. He cannot turn to the right or to the left. He's trapped and imprisoned. They were a nation that were trapped and imprisoned within themselves. And this is the epitome of the physical world. Because the physical world is totally limited. Everything has its limitations. Nothing can go out of its bounds. The spirit, the non-physical world, is endless, is infinite. There are no bounds to it. So Israel, at one hand, were to be masters, and Egypt, at the other hand, were the epitome of slaves. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to redeem Israel from Egypt and to give them freedom, this was not merely where he was taking one nation away from another nation, but he was giving to Israel a total liberty and freedom. Not only a freedom from another nation, but where they will become rulers over the entire world, over the entire physical world. Rulers over the physical world, rulers over their own physical self. He was giving memsholah, he was giving this mastership to the spirit which is in them. And the spirit would no longer be locked and imprisoned into the narrows of physical man. And this is the level of the Torah, where the Torah cannot be confined in the straits of the physical world. And therefore, it wasn't enough merely to free them from Egypt. He had to free them from the world, from the physical world. And when he brought them to the sea, there was a conflict. The conflict was, is Israel had to go forward, and the sea had to remain in its place. Two forces. Who should move? And the sea had to move, because the sea was created. The world was not created for the sake of the waters. The waters were created for the sake of man. And this is what Remeir says in the Mechilta, in Parshas Bishalach. Remeir Omer, he said, it is not a great surprise that the sea moved away, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Le'odem yochidi osisi yam yabosho, La'adas kedoshi mal'achas kama v'kama. If I force the waters to move aside for one man, when I created one man, I had to command the waters to move aside, v'seiro'e ayabosho, in order there should be a place for one man in the world. So certainly for my nation that is sanctified, that will bring Torah into the world, how much more so must the sea move away? And this is also what the Rabbanoi says in the Mechilta. He says, in what schus, in what merit did the sea move away? Try to get an ocean to move. How did they get it to move? So he says, Bishvil Avraham ani kerei elam hayom. It was in the merit of Avraham. How do we know? Because by Avraham, when Hashem commanded him to take and sacrifice his son Yitzchok, it states, Vayashkem Avraham baboker, the next morning Avraham got up early, by boka atzei ole, and he split the wood for the sacrifice. It uses the word vayiboka. And here also it uses the word vayiboka. Vayiboku hamayim. The water split. So he makes a gzera shava, an analogy. Here it says this particular word, split. There it says the particular word vayiboka. From here we learn that it was in the schus of Avraham that the water split. Now what does Rabbanoi mean with this? So the Maral explains in the Gvuras Hashem, Perik Mem, he says, it's a very good analogy. Because physical man can't move the water. Why should a physical man be strong enough to move a physical force like water? But a man who is also a non-physical man, a great spirit, he has a higher level than the water, he can move the water. And who was this great spirit? This was Avraham. And where do we see this? It states HaKadosh Baruch Hu tested Avraham 10 times. As in Ishenus. And the greatest test, the 10th one, was the Akedah Yitzchok. He tested him to see if he would sacrifice his beloved son Yitzchok. And this was something which was physically impossible for a person to do. If a person does this, he has to draw on the spiritual powers of man, not on the physical powers of man. And it states that the next morning Avraham got up early in the morning with all types of enthusiasm, and he himself went and split the logs, even though he had many servants, because Ahava Mekalkel says Ashura, because of his great desire and love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his great devekus, his great bond that he had to the spiritual forces of the world. He himself went and split the logs. It was that force that he gave to Israel that split the sea. That's a force that the sea cannot contend with. Klal Yisrael were becoming not only free from Egypt, they were becoming free from the physical forces of the world. And then another opinion is brought. Shimon Ish Kitron says, "Bishus Atzmas Yosef Nikra." It was through this merit of the bones of Yosef that the sea split. What does he mean? He says, because when Yosef died, he commanded Klal Yisrael, when you leave, take my bones with you. And in the beginning of Parshas Bishalach, right at the beginning of the Parsha, it states that Klal Yisrael fulfilled this command. It says in Pasuk Yutes, Vayikach Meshe es Atzmas Yosef Imay. Moshe took the bones, the remains of Yosef with him. And if Moshe took them, then the Gemara says they were in the camp of Moshe, which was leading. It states, David HaMelech wrote, Vayar Hayom Bayonos. In the Halal, he writes that the sea saw something and it fled back. The question is, what did the sea gaze at that made it flee back? Vayonos Hayom, Vayar Hayom Bayonos. So, Shimon Ish Kitron says, we have another place in the Torah where the Torah tells us, Bayonos, he fled back. And this is by Yosef. When Yosef was being pursued and tempted by Ashes Potiphar, the wife of Potiphar, one day he came into the house and there was no one there, and she grabbed a hold of him. It states, Vayonis Hachutzu. Yosef ran away, he fled. And it mentions many times in the Torah there, Vayonis Hachutzu, 4 or 5 times. So he makes a Gzeira Shova. Makes an analogy. Here by the sea it says, Bayar Hayom Bayonos, that the sea saw and fled back. That same word Bayonos is used by Yosef. Therefore we can come to the conclusion that what did the sea gaze at that made it flee? It must have seen the Atzmas Yosef, the remains, the bone, the casket of Yosef, which Moshe was carrying in the front. Now the question is, but what does one have to do with the other? So the Maral explains. Yosef was tested. He was tested over and over. And perhaps the greatest test he had was that with Ashes Potiphar. She was a beautiful woman. She was a powerful woman. She was the master over Yosef. She was the wife of his master. Had he submitted, she could have done many, many things for him. He would have been in a powerful position. Meanwhile, he had nothing. He was a slave. He was a nar. He was a young boy. He was an ivri. He was looked down upon. Physical man, the physical forces of man, would decree to submit. One would have to draw on the spirit of man to be Vayonas Hachutza, to flee. And it was this force where he had become master over the physical powers of man that he gave to Klal Yisrael that caused the sea also to move back. Because when they saw the casket of Yosef and they saw his children carrying it, they saw that this is not a force for us. And therefore, Vayar Hayom Vayonos, the sea gazed and it moved back. Now, with this we can understand the questions we asked. We asked firstly, it would seem to be that the splitting of the sea was not part and parcel of the going out of Egypt. Because if Hashem wanted to destroy Paro and his men, he had the ten makas. This was not part of the ten makas. If he wanted to take out Klal Yisrael, he didn't have to take him through the sea. There were other ways he could destroy Egypt. So we didn't need the splitting of the sea. Why do we find it so paramount here? The answer is because Klal Yisrael were going from one level to the other. They were freeing themselves from Mitzrayim. They were freeing themselves from the physical force of Mitzrayim and from the physical level of Mitzrayim, until the point when they were coming to a level where they could become masters over themselves, a total liberty, a total freedom, a total shichrur, where they could ride even over the forces and the elements of nature, because nature was created to serve man. Nature was created to be subservient to man. Man was created to be the master over nature. And from here they were going, where? Immediately to Kabbalah HaTorah, to receive the Torah. And it states, Ein ben chayrin, el misha esik b'Torah. Only a free man can come to the level of Torah. Torah cannot be given to avodim, to slaves. Torah cannot be given to people who become slaves to the physical world. So therefore, there had to be this in the Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Exodus. Then we asked that the Chazal tell us,
what is meant by this? The maidservant saw on the sea even greater what Yecheskel ben Buzi saw.
Well, this is it. Yecheskel ben Buzi had come to enormous heights in prophecy. This means that enormous heights in freedom. At this moment, Klal Yisrael came to such heights in freedom that even the simplest of Klal Yisrael, the Shivcha, the maidservant, rose to these heights. And she was able to see even what Yecheskel ben Buzi could see. And then finally, they came to Shira. Shira is the greatest expression of Simcha. When a person comes to a great level of Simcha, then he breaks out in Shira, Shira's song and praise. Simcha can come to a person only when he's totally free. We see that the word to be confined, Tzarli Hamokum, the word to be confined, is identical with the word Tzar, which means pain and anguish, the opposite of Simcha. This is why we say, V'harvach lonu mikol tzeroseinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us harvocha. Harvocha means freedom and space from all of our tzoros.
Tzoris is a confining force to man, while Simcha is the harvocha, the broadening and the space that brings to, that comes to man. Mitzrayim was the confines. It was closed in by parameters. They were trapped. It was an entrapment where the spirit becomes trapped in the physical body and cannot come out. This brings tzoras, atzfus. This brings depression. And when a person is depressed, there is no song. To the contrary, we find Vayidom Aram. An Ovel, a mourner, is silent. When Aaron lost, heaven forbid, his sons, Vayidom, he was silent. It states a mourner, you feed him something round, because Ein Le Peh, he's silent. To the contrary, when a person becomes free of the narrows, then he comes to Simcha and he breaks out in Shira. Therefore, when they came to this level of Shichrur, they came to the level of Oz Yosher Meisha Uvenei Yisrael Es HaShira Azos. This gives us some insight into the shichru, the freedom of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za, or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. Via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.